Okay.
Should we begin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the first one, I thought it was quite an interesting question, actually, yeah? So it says, Amrilay, right, Dane Resh Ketir Yamalel. So when before Kalev spoke, yeah, he looked at what happened to Yeshua, and he said, look, like, Yeshua was like, you know, he was trying to speak, and they all kind of silenced him by saying, you know, this one has a Resh Ketir Yamalel, the one with a head, you know, cut off, I guess, yeah, should speak. Right? So what does that mean? Like, what does it mean, a head cut off? So Perish Rashi. So Rashi says, She'ein labanim litol chelek baretz. So he hasn't got any children. No. So the question that the Mefarshim bothered by is, that's actually... Slavkot. What?
For those slavkot?
The question is...
You mean that kind of...
That actually, surely that would be an ideal person to speak, because he's not Nageya, right? Oh. He hasn't got children, yeah? And you know, he hasn't got someone to inherit the land. So maybe, you know, he's, that should make him more reliable than anything else, yeah? Right? So if he says, yeah, it's definitely worth going in to take the land, then, you know.
I would connect it to all the rights now. You didn't have children to go in the army. Boys to go in the army, so where did he care?
Oh, okay. So he was worried about the army? Okay. He's going himself, but yeah, I hear. Okay. So Rabbi Yashiv, so there's three answers here. Rabbi Yashiv gives two, the people would like these answers. And there's a further answer here from the Maron Asada, which maybe people might think about, you know, in the Chabon too. Hi, how are you doing? Here's a sheet. So we're just saying the first question is, yeah, if Rosh Ketir, for Yeshua is that, according to Rashi, he hasn't got any children, yeah? So why is that a reason not to listen to him? Apologies, thank you. He hasn't got any sons, yeah? Why is that a reason not to listen to him? Because, like, maybe that makes him more reliable, yeah? He's not got Nagia. He's not saying, oh, definitely go in because, you know, he wants his sons to inherit anything. He hasn't got any sons. So that's the question that Mefarshim bothered by. So here, Rabbi Yashiv says, V'nira b'zeh, apima de'issa yivamas, right? Eitzel avar mevinu, right? Harida, I don't know this. I remember Yochanan Yehuda. I don't know who it is. Segula hu labanim, right? Going into Eretz Yisrael is a segula to get children. Yeah. But im kein, yeah, came unto Yeshua ein labanim, since he didn't have children. How he wrote to b'knis l'Eretz Yisrael. He was desperate to get into Eretz Yisrael. Shei labanim, so that he could have sons. Yeah. If you want sons, that's what. I have to be honest. Like, my first son was born in Eretz Yisrael. So what can I say? Literally the year after I came. Right. Yeah. So almost, yeah. So anyway, Shiloh Bonim, right? So he was, yeah, that's what they were trying to say, yeah? Don't listen to him, yeah? He's just desperate to have her son. Right, and then I saw this also in another safer as well, by the way.
The problem there is the same thing we said, that Avram didn't have any children.
Ah, okay, you're saying that. Yeah, okay, but still sons are sons.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, but maybe Skulat have Dafka male children, no? Okay, v'ha'aruch pireish, yeah, deresh ketia hainu, right, shemosha hosif lo yud, right, this idea of resh ketia is that Moshe actually added a yud to his name, right, sha'amru da Yehoshua ba l'daber tov ala yitzhishra, came into Moshe hispa l'alav, sha'idu tov, so I guess like a cut off head, I don't know, that maybe that represents yud that's cut off.
The head of his name,
right. Yeah, nachon, right? So basically, here they're saying, oh, he's only going to say because Moshe davened on him, yeah, that he should say good, you know, good things about Eretz Yisrael. He can't listen to him, yeah. But Imkain later rhyme with Devarav that Amitus Ha'inian, yeah. Because Moshe davened that he should, you know, say good things. Yeah, I can't listen to him. Okay, so those are the two pshatim brought by Rabbi Yashiv, yeah. And now this third pshatim in the Maron Masada, yeah. So he says. This next one down, he says, Nira de Meshum Shia Dua Haya de Moshe Mace, Yeshua Machnis Yisrael Laaretz. It was a kind of a known thing, if you remember, like there was a midrashim about this, yeah? That Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, and Yeshua was going to be become the new leader to bring everyone into Eretz Yisrael, right? Because there, Shahayu B'midbar, Haya Yeshua Manhik Katan. And in B'midbar, he wasn't really a big leader, he was just a small leader, yeah? Kamo Nasi Leshevet. He was just, you know, Ephraim. Yeah. So that's what it means. Yeah. You're going to listen to this Resh Ketir, this person who's kind of right, you know, right now he's just a leader of one Shevet. And yet, you know, he knows that, you know, if you go into Eretz Yisrael, he's going to become the whole leader of Kali Yisrael. Can't trust that. Can't trust politicians. Yeah. He just wants to be the head of Kali Yisrael.
He wants to cut off the head of Kali Yisrael.
Well, no, I mean, right now, the Peshat would be right now.
To cut it off.
Well, right, this, I think the pshat according to it is right now he's a resh ketiyah. As in, as you know, right now he's only a small head. Yeah, he's a manhi katan. Resh ketiyah.
Question: this is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even know that he was going to do it. Does Moshe Rabbeinu ask Hashem to pick someone?
You mean later on? Yeah, there's a question on the Medrash, right? But you remember when
they didn't know that.
Well, you know, but you remember also the Medrash, but when they prophesied, yeah, and he said, you know, Kalaim, yeah, right, go and, you know, put them in prison. Why? Because they were saying that, you know, that it was going to be Yeshua was going to lead the Medrash. Okay, I don't know. Right. I don't know how necessarily fit together the different things, but there was definitely, according to one Medrash, at least, there's an idea that it was known. Yeah, maybe, yeah. Okay, next one, yeah. So I don't know whether you were bothered by this, but... That it says that they actually threw stones klape mala, right? And it kind of sounds a little bit childish, right? You know, we're going to stone Hashem, yeah? I mean, what were they thinking of doing, yeah? So I saw this in the Chidushe Haral, which I thought was very nice, yeah? Kishmak Pshat, yeah? Okay, so it says, Nira Shekach Purushu, right? This is what was going on, yeah? In terms of they were trying to stone Hashem. What would that mean, yeah? Kishabakshu Lizurek Avanim Pemoshe. Right, they were, according to this, he's saying they were throwing stones against Moshe and Aaron, I guess, yeah? So, lo bikshu, right, lizro kalav, rak mipnesh hu shliach, Hashem yisprach, yeah? They were really just, only throwing it against Moshe. They weren't, it's nothing personal, but it's because he was a shliach of Hashem, yeah? We were upset with what Hashem's, you know, done to us, so to speak, yeah? Havi ki lus as lemashaleach, yeah? It was as if Ki'ilu, by stoning Moshe, really they were trying to have a go at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah? Because, you know, who'd been sending Moshe. So really, they were trying to have a go at Hashem. Ki'ilu asazeh, rak bishvil shu shlucha shal hamashliach. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, everything he was doing and saying, oh, we should be going into Eretz Yisrael and whatever, he was just acting as a shliach of Hashem, right? And they were like, oh, look what Hashem's doing to us. And when they were trying to stone Moshe Rabbeinu, they were just, it was an act of protest against Hashem. Ve'etzel hashliach ne'amalu gomoso, right, ba'avanim, ba'adarin lo ragmu. And this is a geshmak pshat, right? Because it says, yeah, as if like they were mamish, like actually stoning Hashem, yeah? So how did that work? They didn't yet stone anyone. They were, you know, about to stone. So how, you know, they were thinking of stoning Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's as if they stoned Hashem. How does that work? It says Maharal, yeah? Because leklape Moshe Rabbeinu, adarin lo ragmu, yeah? They still hadn't actually stoned him, yeah? Aval etzel hamashliach, mashaleach, right? But against Hashem, right? Hadibah Shadabru, the fact they said, let's go and stone Moshe Rabbeinu, that itself, Nechshav Kazarku Avanim Klapim Shemaya. That intent just to stone Moshe Rabbeinu, what they said, which is really against Hashem, that intent itself is enough, you know, it's, insofar as the stoning itself is a kind of a way of getting against Hashem. So that statement itself was, that stoning of Hashem was expressed already in that statement, let's go and stone Moshe Rabbeinu.
Debo Behekdish, like, is like...
No, because the whole thing is, they're never mamish actually stoning Hashem, pshat. The pshat is the fact that they're having a go against Moshe Rabbeinu. So the expression of wanting to stone Moshe Rabbeinu is itself the stoning of Hashem.
Okay.
Yeah? Ki lo shayich shiaseh adam davar maaseh el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the starting point is, of course, that we're bothered by. You can't stone Hashem. How do you stone Hashem? You express your desire to stone Moshe Rabbeinu, who's just the shliach. So according to my rabbi, that's geshmak of pshat in what's going on. Why it was considered as if they actually tried to stone Hashem. Okay. Next question, yeah? So this is an interesting question, right? They ever thought about this, yeah? So they said, right, so Hashem, that they saw everyone dying, right? And they said, oi, it's an Eretz Ocheles Yoshveha, right? And Hashem says, what do you, you know, look, you know, ani chashavticha l'tova v'heim chashavu l'ra. Right? I was trying to do them a favor to make sure that, they, you know, they went under the radar, the spies went under the radar. And look, they turned it on its head, yeah? Mm-hmm. So, you know, a question you can ask is, well, yeah, but there's an innocent mistake. Come on, you know, they went around Eretz Yisrael. Everyone was dying, yeah? It's not an unreasonable conclusion to come to, right, that it's a land that kills your Shvel. Why are they being laid into, yeah, for making this innocent mistake, right? Mm-hmm. Shalu, yeah? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Shoged, yeah? Mm-hmm. So it's the Eni Arkham that addresses this. So he says, Afar Pishau Ktsat Shogim, right? Right? Muatim Devar. They made a mistake, a genuine mistake, yeah? Mekomakon Nenshu. Right, they were punished, right? But karav lemezidim, right, as if they were close to being mazed, right? Why? Kesham shehivtichlan Hashem lahaviyam el eretz tova v'rachava, right? Hayalat lehu ledin lechavsuch. I mean, you would have said this already, yeah. But since Hashem told them you're going to come into a brilliant land, yeah, So when they saw something that looked as if everyone's dying, they should have thought, wait a sec, that's kind of doesn't quite accord with what Hashem's told us, but come on, Hashem's Hashem, yeah? So must be there's something going on here. Oh, yeah, it's not really everyone's dying. They should have come to that conclusion, yeah? Right? Below the Chovan, not done Chavzchus, it's an important thing, yeah? Especially, you know, Klapi Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? But Gam, and listen to this, yeah? But Gam, Kevan Sheheli Chasan Bitchila Haya Be'etzara.
Right.
And also, and this I found really geschmack, I'll tell you a sec, yeah? Since their going itself was before they saw anything, with bad eitzes, we know there was a hekesh between Bia and Halicha, right? So the very start and thing, the very first thing we learned in this week's Hesbek, yeah? Nichshelu gam bezeh, right? Al daba haba letamei potchem lo, yeah? Someone who comes with bad intentions, we open the way, and we know. So basically, I was thinking, is a tremendous lesson, I was telling last night, actually, the person I was sitting next to in the bar mitzvah, saying that, you know, in this week's, in this parsha of the Meraglim, yeah, on the one hand, right, we saw last week, yeah, that we have Kalev, yeah, and also Yeshua, they're davening to be saved from sin. And the Ein Yaakov said, what's the pshat in that? And he said, because, yeah, if you go and start try to be mitaher yourself, Hashem will be mitaher you. Yeah, you make that little effort to do the right thing, Hashem will take the rest of the way. It's not a steerer to say to speak to Bechira. And here we see the opposite way as well. Yeah, since they went at the start with bad intent. Yeah, so you know potchem lo, so Hashem opens up so they can make other bad mistakes. Yeah, and they're held accountable for that, yeah? Mm-hmm. So basically, it's that point of Bechira, that starting point, that everything can kind of lead to both the Tov and the Ra. Anyway, that's what I was thinking.
What was their bad intentions when they went in?
Well, Lechora, they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, yeah? They felt, you know, a lot of people speak about this.
They say they wanted to stay in Salashrina as a big where they had everything.
Yeah, but the question is why, yeah? Yeah, but sometimes, you know, like, you know, you can have a, you know, a Yetzirah dressed up as a tzaddik, yeah? Oh, you know, stay here because we're going to be learning Torah. I mean, like, you know, there are times in which, you know, no, Hashem's told you to go into Eretz Yisrael. No? Not always is the Yetzirah dressed up in, you know, a kind of...
Obviously, but they were doing
what was good in that. Well... I don't know, that's the point. Yeah, the Chora not. No, yeah, Chora.
From the get-go anyway, they were never supposed to stay in Midbar.
But you're in a Midbar, you have this Shechina right there present, you're getting mud,
But they knew that the Midbar was only part of the journey to the raison d'etre, which was getting into Eretz Yisrael. That was always the plan.
That's in hindsight,
Not in hindsight, they took them out of Egypt to take them to a promised land. They knew they were going to a promised land. It's not hindsight, it was the end point.
Yeah, they told us 400 years ago, they were told they're going to the promised land.
We're expecting the Mashiach at some point.
Yeah, you're right. We can't put ourselves into their shoes.
Yeah.
We're not criticizing. Right. Well, the Gemara is criticizing them. So I'm going to ride on the back of the Gemara. But, Okay. So number four, everyone spoke out, which I think Peretz spoke out actually. Which just, you know. Of what you know, how did they know everyone was dying? And the Kishmak answer, Masha. So, because we spoke that out before, so I won't repeat that. Number five, I thought was quite interesting here, yeah. So we say Rab Magefa, right? They died in Dibar Ra, it says, I think it was Dibar Ra, was the word?
Yeah, they put, yeah, but yeah,
right?
Yeah, Magefa. Dibar something Ra.
You'll see why I've done this, right? I've left out the word,
yeah,
purpose. Melamed Shemesu Misa Mishuna, right? They died in a terrible death, right? And then it says later on, it carries on saying, and Melamed, and also teaches us, twice as Melamed, right? Nisrabe b'lashonam, their tongue extended and all sorts of horrible things happened. Right, so both times it says, Melamed mesu b'misara m'shuna, and then it says, Melamed, and also teaches us, Nisrabe b'lashonam, right? That's interesting. It says twice Melamed, yeah? Okay, let's have a look. So Rashi says, right, midalo karminam b'magefa, right? From the fact it doesn't say b, it says ba, right? Mashma b'myuchedet, it says ba magefa, right? In the magefa, right? A special one, yeah?
Right?
Ruelahem mida keneged mida. The magefa was something which is mida keneged mida.
Right.
Ah, so now Tosfos over there says, nira dara b'magefa darash. The fact that it kind of, he parsons it in a different way, and he says it's ra, bad in the magefa. Comes on the Marasha and says something very gishmak. Says the Marasha, the next line, yeah? Mita Mishuna, right? Kamosh Kasev HaTosfos. How do we know mita mishuna? That's like Tosfos says. It says rab magefa, right? It was right. A mishuna dikam a misa. Rab.
Right.
Well, the man da amar. And the other opinion, yeah?
Right.
Melamed shnistarabev, Lashonam, that says, oh no, from here we learn that their tongues, it's a different opinion, Marsha's learning.
Oh, wow.
That's what Rashi said, mida k'neged mida. If you want to know mida k'neged mida, right? That's the fact that their tongues, because it was their tongue that sinned, yeah? That's mida k'neged mida, right? That's bam akefa, right? But if you want to know how it was Mishunah, that was the ra. So the magefa is the mida k'neged mida magefa, but it doesn't tell you mishuna. It's just mida k'neged mida. Ah, that was the tongue. It happens to be pretty nasty, but yeah. But if you want to know where was it so bad, why? How do you know it's such a bad thing? Right. That's rab magefa. So according to Marsha, he's actually picking up on this geshmak point that it says melamed twice, and he's saying Taka, Tosfos and Rashi are not arguing. They're just picking up on that. Each one is explaining different things. But anyway, it's like a very geshmak. Marsha is woo. Okay, an interesting point. Yeah,
how does that work out with the last opinion spoke about the throat?
I guess the throat is also mida k'neged mida. That would also be okay. Rashi. Yeah. Rashi could be telling you both of those two opinions. Well, either one, melamed, either this or this. Yeah, but very good. Yeah, good point. Yeah, I didn't flip that. Okay, I haven't got so much longer. Right. Let's skip number six. Yeah, number six is quite interesting. Yeah, but let's skip that. It's just basically kind of Moshe's telling you pshat in that. Oh, what about Zemiris? Everyone wants to know about Zemiris. We can't skip this one. Yeah, what's wrong with calling the Torah Zemiris? No, sounds pretty good. Zemiris, yeah, something like you enjoy whatever you sing all the time. Yeah, what's wrong with Zemiris? Yeah, so this is going to tell us something pretty fundamental about limited Torah. Yeah. So it says the Marsha, yeah? Marsha says, yeah? What's wrong with Zemiris, yeah? And by the way, people point out that elsewhere, actually, you know, it does talk about the Torah Zemiris, yeah? Mm-hmm. So in a good way. Right? That's also another problem with this whole Gemara. So it says the Marsha, Ki azema hayu ahu b'fiv shel adam. I spoke this out briefly, but it's piv adam l'fi shah. Azema you, it's on and off. Yeah, you kind of, you know, you sing it, you enjoy it, but, you know, you're not always, you know, you sing azema, yeah? Quick, you know, sing it on and off, yeah? Aval divrei Torah, him streichim to midis. Yeah, you have to always be going at it. You know, every morning, you know, you're there at, you know, 8:15 in the morning. Halavai, right? Shalei mushu mepip, right? Kedei shalei yishtachlu, right, mimenu, right? So that you shouldn't forget it. It has to have to midis, yeah? Right, but al davar zeh amru b'gemara, gamu, right? Gemara is mira tehe, right? Gemara is mirasa tehe. That's the expression. We say, oh, Gemara is just a zmira. Just a easy thing that you sing out. No, Gemara's not a Zemira. You have to be there constantly. Okay, that's Marsha. Says Reb Yashav, he says that he brings the clash of Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Tama Rabbi Kiva Eger Me'erivin, yeah, to Mavua Hasam, to Adraba, Maila Hubatola, Shinikra Zemiris. Apparently it's Gemara, Mafush Gemara, that says another Maila that's called Zemiris, yeah. Ode Issa, you should say, right, but Tesefta, Bapara, right, or Perisham, right, Rabbi Shmuel, right. Derech ba'alei zmiris shechozrim al zmiris ehem. Also, by the way, another thing about zmiris is, yeah, people who are singers, yeah, right, you go over your song again and again, right? No, when you've got a good tune, you go over again and again, yeah, right? Shelo yishtachu, right, mehem. So you shouldn't forget it, and you should remember exactly, you know, and practice it, yeah. Right, so kach yesh la'adam l'chazer al mishnaso. So apparently in Sefer there it says just as much you should go, and this is Taka almost the opposite towards that, like, you should go over your learning many, many times like people do with their songs and their nigunim, yeah, to get them, you know, to get it right. So l'chora, this is a big problem, right? Zemiris sounds like a fantastic thing, yeah? So according to this, it says, look what Rabbi Yashar says about this. He says, v'nira, right, mizeh, devadai l'inyan zman halimud, or kamas halimud, so it's a bit different to the Marsha, the amount of time you do it, and the extent that you do it, yeah, domahud l'zmuris, right, it should be like zmuris, right, day l'hefsek, right, it's all the time you're singing your song, you're singing your tune, that's great, yeah, right, v'zeh mash hishvu sham l'zmuris, and that's the positive side of the zmuris. Echus halimud, yeah, the quality of the learning, for omek in yuna, yeah, and the depth of your inan limud, yeah, Torah, right? Bezehu hefech hazmiris. That's where it shouldn't be like zmiris, yeah. That's the opposite of zmiris. Besarech kol adam lehisa amek ba. You have to, you know, zmiris is a light kind of thing, yeah, and it's great. There's an aspect of Torah where you need zmiris all the time. But it says Rabbi Yashiv, yeah, it has to be serious, it has to be heavy, you have to get into the depth of it, yeah? right? Below that are Sosa Casimiris. And he says that's how, why David was criticized, because you have to have both of those aspects. A pretty hard job, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, otherwise we should have,
Rashi
said, yeah. What does he say?
He used them the Shastani. When he was in a troubled brain, the Torah was like some heroes to comfort him.
Right. So what's that? That's more like...
It's using it as a tool.
Oh, he was using it as a tool. So a different Peshat. Oh, very nice. I hadn't picked up on this. Which? Let's see.
For being on the duress.
Right.
Okay, very nice. A different shot.
And maybe that's where the Yashin was expanding on that.
You did Borech Miftei Ovei, but I'll go with Pihem Haitzilish.
May have said, okay.
Yeah. It's like he was, yeah, you were saying it's a slightly different touch, you're saying. He's like, he's more kind of using it for his own relaxation, maybe a bit. Yeah, thank you. Shkoich. Okay, so that's it, really. The last one is something that Moshe Chaim said, so take a look at that. We posted it, I think.
Right.
What was it? He didn't say pasuk. We said it was the
pasia.
No. When we wrote it up, it changed the word. Whatever.
Oh, the original one. Yeah. Right.
Shkoyach. Okay.